This is Tom Parsons. I'm speaking today to Nigel James. He is the founder of Ignite, a UK-based youth discipleship initiative. But he's also the author of a great new book called Lessons from the Road that he co-authored with Third Day and wrote as part of his work with them and part of their ministry. And Nigel, it's good to talk to you today.
Thank you.
Tell me how you got connected with Third Day, and I guess your job title, more or less, with them is road pastor, and what that means.
Yeah, it's a great question. I've been involved working in the UK with Christian music on and off for a long time, really. Certainly using it as an evangelism tool and as a discipleship tool amongst young people in the UK. And way back in the summer of 1995, one of the Christian record companies in the UK asked me to give them a bit of a hand and help out looking after a young band that was coming over from America for a tour of the UK and Europe. And that band was Newsboys, actually, and I spent a week on the road with them, getting to know those guys, and they, cut a long story short, they invited me to tour with them in the US as their pastor speaking on their tour, doing some youth leaders receptions, pastoring the guys in the band. And the very first time that I went out with Newsboys, Third Day with the opening act, got friendly with them. And a couple of years after that, once my natural time with Newsboys had finished, Third Day asked me to give them as much time as I can. So every tour since the fall of 2000, every major tour in the US and other places in the world, I've joined Third Day on their tour bus as what they call their road pastor, basically doing church on the road with them, making sure that we pray together, we read the Bible together, we have fellowship together, and just using the time wisely that we have when we're traveling.
And I'm sure that that's a great challenge when you're spending so much time on the road, because you're in a different town almost every day when you're on tour. And I'm sure it is a challenge for those guys to remain grounded while at the same time basically doing their jobs and that ministry and music.
Yes, touring life is an acquired taste, I guess, really. And you do have long periods of inactivity followed by periods of frenetic activity. So just trying to keep a balance through that. In the earlier days of touring with Third Day, we would be away sometimes for 2-3 weeks at a time, and our off days would be wherever we happened to be in the country. Now, we're in a fortunate position where even on our major tours, we're only away perhaps 4 nights of the week. And we're back in Atlanta where the guys are based for the other 3 nights of the week. But nevertheless, it is still, when you're at the start of a 40-day tour, you're quite excited about it, but you're thinking, wow, how are we going to get through this? And at the end of it, you literally are having to look at the program every day to remind yourself which city you're in.
Tell us about a little bit more about your job and how you measure success. And this is something you go into a little bit in the book, but I think folks would be interested in hearing how you, as a road pastor, measure your success in your ministry.
Yes, in Lessons from the Road, there's a portion of the book where I do devote to this. And if you're looking at the success of a Christian rock tour, you could look at the number of tickets sold, you could look at the volume of applause, you could look at the number of CDs and units sold, or T-shirts sold, you could look at the reviews of the concerts. And all those things are important to a certain extent, but it's a bit more difficult to gauge success as a road pastor. So I look at, certainly I look at the frequency of time that I've been able to spend with a band in prayer and Bible study. And even though the tours are sometimes full of a lot of downtime, actually getting all the guys in the band in the same place at the same time to read the Bible or pray together is quite a challenge. So on the most basic level, if I've managed to achieve that fairly consistently, then there's some measure of success there. I also look at the interpersonal relationships between the guys in the band, the way that they're relating to their crew, the way that they're looking after the younger bands that they may have on the road with them. I spend a lot of one-to-one time with the guys, and just how often those conversations become very strategic and important. And quite often, Jen Manning, who's Third Day's road manager, the tour manager, she'll often say, oh, Nigel, it's been so important for you to be here in this city at this time just to have that conversation or to deal with this issue. So part of it for success is me is just trusting the Holy Spirit to be in the right place with the right word at the right time.
This is a group of guys that you've become very close to over the years, and as you point out in the book, you know, started out as relative unknowns, and through, you know, years of extensive touring have become, you know, more and more well-known, not just within Christian circles, but beyond that. I first want to ask you about how they have coped with their changing fame and becoming Christian celebrities, and then I want to jump to going beyond that, but let's first deal with that.
Well, I think they've dealt with it very well. I mean, they've served their dues, really. You know, they've all been, you know, I can remember the times that they were driving a minibus themselves and setting up their own merchandise and putting up their own lighting and PA rig and everything and playing the smaller church venues and the youth camps. So they've served their time well, really. I'm sure that they're glad that that's not what they're still doing now, that they are performing at a higher and more intense level. But on the way, I think they stayed remarkably balanced. Part of that, I'm sure, is because of our devotional focus on the road, but as much of it, I believe, is because they're all family men. They're coming from solid family backgrounds, and they just love being with their wives and kids, and also they're all involved in different churches back in at the Atlanta area, so when they're home, they're hooked into the local fellowship of the church. And one of the things that, in fact, on the very last tour that we did most recently in the spring, we were looking at issues that men face, and one of the issues we were looking at was the whole issue of identity, and just saying, look, we're not going to be deceived by this world that we live in, and yes, we are guys in the public eye, we are playing in front of thousands of people each night, but we're actually going to find our identity in Christ and as children of God, even before we find our identity as husbands or fathers or rock stars, and really trying to keep that balance and that persistence. I spent quite a lot of my formative years in ministry working in Christian sports ministry. There's lots of parallels between the sports star and the music celebrity, sometimes, you know, falling foul of their own publicity and believing they're only as good or as bad as their last performance. And we try to take that out of the equation with Third Day and just have a consistency and a faith and trust in Christ, whether the concerts are going well or whether they aren't. And I guess that's the thing. One of the biggest challenges, I think, in the celebrity thing is with fans, really. And Third Day have got a lot of great hardcore fans, Gomez and the Wired fan club. And my challenge to them all the way is that if their adoration and fanaticism just stops at the guys in the band, then something's gone wrong there. And I really want them to look through the guys in the band and see the Jesus that they serve. And echoing Paul's words from Scripture where he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so I think one of the most challenging things is to get the appropriate relationships right with fans. Appreciate the fans, to love them for the great support that they give the band, but to encourage them to be more fanatical about their faith in Jesus than they are about Third Day.
You also talk extensively about one of the real turning points in their careers and in their ministry, and it's one that they've taken a lot of heat for, and that is to intentionally step beyond just serving the Christian community at large. And maybe this is more of an American phenomenon than it is a UK phenomenon. Maybe you can help me out with this. That there's a tendency, I think, in the Christian community, and particularly the Christian music community, to be more self-serving and not break beyond that and reach out to those who don't know Christ. And they made a pretty intentional decision to do that with their music and took a good bit of heat for that.
Yes, that's right. But I can remember sitting down with the guys just in the early stages of the vision for the album Wire, where we were talking about this and how a number of spectators looking at looking at the Christian music industry from the outside would see bands who take steps to broaden their appeal, to try to connect with people who aren't Christians, who would see that step as perhaps an indication of the band losing their passion for Christ, backsliding, selling out for the world, not being as strong in their faith. Actually, in Third Day's case, and I'm sure in a lot of other bands as well, it was exactly the opposite. It was a determination and a desire to share Jesus more widely that's caused them to reshape their vision in terms of some song lyrics and opportunities to play in different places and to broaden their appeal. But one of the decisions we made then was we said, well, if that's going to be the case, then that means the devotional side of our touring life doesn't decrease. It actually needs to increase. We need to call on Jesus more, we need to pray more, study the Bible, we need to be spiritually more prepared and more capable to step out into the world than we've ever been. And certainly that's, I love the American Christian music scene, but one of the frustrations is so often I think bands end up preaching to the choir. You know, a lot of concert promoters and organisers want a little gospel message, a gospel appeal in the concert. And it's really preaching to the converted, because 98-99% of the crowd are already believers. So I'm all for a much more challenging message of discipleship and taking up your cross and following Jesus to believers, but in the right situation when certainly listeners wouldn't be church people, wouldn't necessarily say that they got faith in Jesus, to be able to share with them in their terms in a contemporary setting, you know, the message of the kingdom of God and of the redemption of Jesus.
One of the things that makes this book so great is we're not just getting to hear from you, we're getting to hear from each member of the band and different recollections at different points in time on different tours. How long did you have this idea to put this together, and how hard was it to get the guys to agree to do it?
Well, this is probably about the 15th interview that I've done about this book, and you're the first person to ask that question, and I'm so glad you've asked it, because it was a bit of a logistical challenge. I guess we had the idea bubbling around for a couple of years, and as I was writing it, and one or two publishers turned the project down, but throughout this whole process, some of the guys in the band are less used to writing than others. Mark Lee is a prolific blogger, and when he gets himself focused, he's a very very perceptive and witty writer. The early stages of this book, Ty Anderson in the band wouldn't have said he was much of a writer, but I think some of the things he's written for this and for the website have made him realise that actually he loves writing. David Carr and Matt Powell, for example, most of the stuff that they wrote in the book actually we did as an interview basis, so similar to this, I recorded a conversation with them, transcribed it for them, let them read it through and amend it, and that was the way that they did it. So sometimes I gave the guys a deadline, sometimes I went off and interviewed them, and it was a challenging process, but it was a very fulfilling one. And I think you're right in that it just for long-time fans of the band, just to get a glimpse of what the guys have been thinking about and the way they write their songs and some of their touring memories and some of the challenges and joys of touring, it has been very revealing.
And one of the things that I've also noticed, and you kind of hit on it a little bit, but I want to expand on it, is they're a band that, as we said before, they started out complete unknowns and have worked their way to a point where God has really blessed them with wide recognition. And I think, you know, it speaks to the talent that he's put in these guys in terms of the music that they produce. But they've also been able to develop some relationships with some other younger bands. And you mentioned that they bring other bands with them on tour. Talk a little bit about that, the mentoring relationship that goes on between Third Day and other bands, and how is it for them now to be the ones mentoring rather than being the ones mentored?
Yes, I guess probably it comes a time in the life of every Christian where you realise that you're looking less to older people for guidance and more to younger people to give that guidance to. And I think probably formative in that for all of us involved in the band was a series of devotions that we did 4 or 5 years ago now that are listed in the book. In Lessons from the Road, the end of each chapter, we have written a real-life devotion that we shared as a band somewhere in our touring life in the last 8 years. And one of them is on the three relationships that everybody needs. And it really looks at Paul and Timothy and Barnabas and saying that we all need a Barnabas, a friend character to walk the journey with us, and a confidant, somebody who's going through what we're going through at the same time. A Paul figure, an older mentor, a more experienced leader to look to and to learn from. But also Timothy, a younger person to invest into. And I know when we studied that the guys really felt they all had the Barnabas character within the band or within their families or the churches. But all of us were challenged, well, who's the Paul figure? Who's the person we're looking up to and we're learning from? But even more importantly, who's the younger person that we're investing into? And one of the ways that Third Day decided collaboratively to respond to that was to be very intentional about working with younger bands. So for a season, they worked with Hypostatic Union. And this last year or so now, they've been working with the band Revive from Sydney in Australia. And each of the guys in Third Day has taken one of the guys from Revive under their wing, you know, sort of matched instruments up, as it were. But also in terms of professionally and artistically and musically, they've been investing in the band in the first album by Revive, but giving them some wisdom as well. They've been touring with them on the road, so I've spent time with the guys in Revive, just really sharing with them some of the questions that we've looked at in Third Day over the years, and how we believe we've been guided by God. So it's very cool, really, that both personally and corporately, they've taken seriously that whole mentoring relationship.
And I'm sure that some of the issues that you dealt with Third Day are the same issues that you deal with you know, other bands, that they face some of the same challenges too.
Exactly. And in the UK, I do a lot of work with younger leaders and young people. And one of the things that drives me to that is I don't want a younger generation of Christians to have to make the same mistakes that I do. We do learn by our mistakes, but hopefully other people can learn by our mistakes as well. So I'm very big into saying, look, if I can tell you some of the mistakes I made and show you the way that I got out of them, then perhaps you'll never get into them in the first place. And that is the beauty of that relationship that Third Day are able to say to the guys in Revive, for example, look, here are some of the good decisions we made and the reason we made them. But hey, here's some of the bad decisions we made and the reasons why now we wish we hadn't made those. So it is a very, very illuminating process.
Third Day is also a band that's gone through transition on a personal level. When they started out, they did not have families, then were not married, and I think all the guys now are married and have families of their own.
That's right, yes.
And talk about those challenges, and you're married and you've got a family too. You know, how do you balance being away from home with, you know, being out on tour?
Well, I think we would have all said that. We would all say that that's probably one of the biggest challenges. And then people say to me, "What are your biggest challenges in ministry?" I actually say, "Well, being a husband and being a father far outweigh anything else." We are fortunate with Third Day that we're in this situation now where we can afford to stretch a tour out a little bit longer, which means we're at home for 2 or 3 days a week. I don't have that luxury because it's not worth flying back to Cardiff in Wales in the UK where I'm based just for 2 or 3 days. So I tend to stay with one of the guys and their families in Atlanta. But it is a challenging life. But hey, we went to Kuwait and Iraq with the US military back in January of this year. And we realised that there are men and women who are away from their families a lot longer than us. Because of their job and serving their country. So it reminded us really that whilst you know, the life of a touring band can be challenging, the flip side of that is there are long periods where we're at home with their wives and families for quality time that a lot of people otherwise wouldn't be able to have.
You also talk in the book about the band's passion for world missions.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, for many years they've been partnering with World Vision to encourage the audience to get involved in child sponsorship. But throughout the seasons there have been different other world mission projects that the band have got involved in. On our Christmas offerings tour last year with Jars of Clay out on the road, I was speaking each night on behalf of Bloodwater Mission, which is Jars of Clay's project in Africa. Just recently, in the last couple of weeks, Mac and Ty from the Third Day have come back from a mission with some of their wives and some of their children to Africa. First time they've taken their families overseas. I'm very involved in work in India, in South India. My wife and I have been fundraising to build a school out there and Ignite, the project that I direct over here, builds churches in India as well. Very generously, Third Day helped us buy the bulk of the land for the school project. So they are really committed to, you know, to in two ways really, into supporting and encouraging the body of Christ worldwide, but also looking to areas of injustice and poverty, and areas where social action really is the cry. So a lot of work with the Invisible Children up in northern Uganda, the children displaced by the conflict going on there. And I think they're realizing, as they've been privileged to travel around the world, that they have got a world Christian outlook, if you like. They're Great Commission Christians, and they see it as part of their responsibility to channel some of their own finances and the band's finances into key projects overseas, but also to mobilise their audience and their fans to say, look, you know, there are people crying out for help around the world, and a comparatively small amount of resource in Western terms can go a long way in some of the developing world.
I'm sure fans of the band would like to hear your perspective on each of the guys. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with each one of them and some things about them that we might not necessarily know.
Okay. Well, I think David Carr, who's a drummer, in the early days of my relationship with the band, David would be the one who would email me and work out travel details and when I would be, you know, joining the tour and stuff like that. And I think he's probably the earliest guy in the band who really had an overseas mission focus, even before he was in the band. I think he'd done a mission trip with Team Mania, so he brought that perspective into the guys very early on. He's a great mimic, is David. If you've got an accent or a quirk about you, he'll be able to pick that up very well. He's never quite mastered my British accent, but almost any other accent, he has a few stitches with when he's doing that. Mark Lee, lead guitarist. Mark's my sort of American culture reference point, really. He always educates me about American sport and American literature and TV and history and whatever. And he's also a great book reader. He's reading lots of different Christian literature, and I quite often find he emailed me just the other day to say he was interested in some children's books for his children that he couldn't get in the US, and you know, I'd be able to get them here. So I've got a parcel of those books done up for him. Mac Powell, lead singer, very, you know, great creative talent, very confident guy, loves to be affirmed, just needs to hear from people that he's doing well and that he's on the right track. He's a great family man and also a big baseball fan. I'm a cricket fan in the UK, and I guess baseball's the closest thing, so Mac is my baseball mentor, if you like, talking me through baseball games. Ty Anderson, bass player. Ty is Ty's a sort of touchy-feely guy. I'm a reserved, stiff-upper-lip British guy, and Ty's not afraid to hug people and put his arm around them, and I've appreciated that from Ty. I think I mentioned in the book that he's the type of guy that has more ideas before breakfast than most of us do in the rest of the week. And I can remember staying with him on tour in Sydney, Australia. In Brisbane, Australia, where I was sharing a room with him for the first time, and I was already in bed late at night, and he bustled back into the room saying he'd got a lot of great ideas of for the next stage of life for the band, and he was talking me through these, and I was trying to stay awake, and then he put the television on, and there was some rugby on the television, and I was trying to explain to him the rules of that as I was dozing off. Next thing I know, it's the morning, and I hear the shower going, and I look up, and I think I must have overslept, and Ty's in the shower. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning. I drift back to sleep, and when I eventually wake up again about an hour later, Ty's already been down to the business room in the hotel and typed out all the thoughts of the conversation that we'd had before, and presented me with about four typed out pages for his vision for the future. So he's a real bundle of energy like that. And then, of course, the other guy, Brad Avery, another guitarist who's recently left the band to spend more time with his wife and children. Brad and I spent a lot of time on the road together. We play golf. He was a great golf player, so my game used to be improved by spending time on the road with Brad. And he was the oldest guy in the band, a little bit closer to my age, so we also remembered some of the great classic rock bands of the 70s as well, which is another place that we used to engage upon. So there's a little snapshot into each of the guys in the band, really.
Out of the whole collection of Third Day songs, I'm going to put you on the spot. Is there a favorite or a particular favorite of Nigel's?
Well, yeah, there's on the Third Day UK website, there's a little sort of thread going about favourite song, and I said on that I couldn't possibly have a favourite song, because so many. I could have a favourite set list, and actually in Lessons from the Road I put a whole of my favourite set list together. I'm listening to the new album a lot, Revelation, and that comes out in a week or so's time, and the title track for that is a favourite of mine. But I guess if you had to pin me down, it would probably be the old school song Consuming Fire, which when I first heard that drove me into the scripture to read up about the fire of God and what that fire imagery meant in the Bible, and really the ministry Ignite that I'm involved with in the UK. So much of our vision for this ministry came out of, as a result of that song, really. So I guess that would be my favourite.
Let's talk a little bit about Ignite, because we haven't really hit on that, and that's kind of the other major area of ministry that you're involved in. Tell us about that, and how do your work with Third Day kind of, you know, mesh with your work with Ignite?
Yes. Well, Ignite is really a discipleship initiative that was formed in the city of Cardiff here in South Wales as a response to gathering a lot of Christian teenagers together who would call themselves Christian but really weren't on fire, didn't have that passion for God. And for us, it manifested itself in the fact that they weren't really confident enough to share Jesus with their friends who weren't Christians. So Ignite started as a response to that around about the time that I started touring with Third Day, really, about 8 years ago. And now we have a team of about 14 staff. I've just stepped aside from the full-time directorship of it into an associate role, so I can spend more time travelling with Third Day. But really, our desire is to take half-hearted Christians and to fire them up with a passion to serve Jesus, to be a disciple, and to make a difference in their generation. And we run leadership training, we have social action projects, we have worship and teaching events throughout the year. And we've got a network of ministry overseas as well. And whenever Third Day play in the UK, they normally come across in partnership with Ignite. And we'll talk a bit about the vision for Ignite on our last UK tour. And we actually, each night of the concerts, we raise money to help build some of our Ignite churches in India. So as much as possible, Third Day and Ignite work together when we're over here. I've really been released for the next 2 years or so from Ignite to focus my time much more in a support role with Third Day. And to recompense that, really, Ignite is a project that Third Day has been financially supporting for a number of years now in order for my time to be released.
That's great to hear. And we hope for great success in that ministry. I think you're hitting on a real critical age for particularly new believers. Teenagers seem to be the ones that are in the most need of anybody. And I think that's certainly true here in America, and I'm sure that's true in the UK and other places as well. So it's encouraging to hear that you've got that focus in dealing with them. So I hope for great success for you in that.
Thank you.
One last question about Third Day. We're talking briefly about favorite songs, and when I think about different songs and what they've meant to me personally, it is the quality of the writing that goes into the songs, and maybe it's just because I'm a lyrics guy. I get hung up on what is it that the song is actually trying to say through its words. Can you give any insight into the writing process that goes into creating these songs?
Yes, another great question. And again, in Lessons from the Road, most of the chapters, the guys in the band that write songs, we've given an opportunity to tell us the story behind the song, why they wrote it, and what the song means. And the lion's share of the lyrical and content for the band comes from Mac Powell, not exclusively. The other guys in the band have been consistently adding songs to albums as well. And I think what excites me most about their writing is so much of it is based on scripture, and they'll search the Bible for psalms or stories from the life of Jesus, or even just individual verses, and that'll be the source of inspiration for a song. But I like it that they might take the same passage or the same song or the same theme that hundreds of other Christian writers have approached, but Third Day still managed to do it in an original and a creative way, and in language it doesn't seem contrite or cliched. And that's what I like about them most. And I guess part of it is because they really believe that most of the time they're not playing for an audience of thousands, they're playing for an audience of one. And a lot of their lyrics are directed at God and encouraging the audience to join in and have that encounter with Jesus, really. Each of the guys writes in a very different way. For this new project, some songs that Mac brought to the studio, I know he brought almost completed. Others he brought as a riff or as a melody line with not much lyric in. Others he brought as with the lyrics and not the tune completed. Mac will often start with perhaps a title of a song. I think, hey, that'll make a good title for a song. So where shall I find some reference in the Bible that will help me work around that? And he has said to me once or twice that he's a bit like the lazy student who has an assignment to hand in tomorrow, and he'll have to pull an all-nighter to get it completed. So quite often, if Mac knows he's in the studio on a Wednesday for the first time, then Monday and Tuesday he'll be having a mad scramble getting his song ideas together and finding things that he's jotted down over the previous months and getting them in some readiness for the studio.
In all the touring and all the traveling with them, is there a favorite memory from the road for you?
I think it would have to be, because it's comparatively fresh in our mind, I think it would have to be playing for the US military in Iraq, concerts in Baghdad for 1,000+ American troops was very humbling, really. We'd expected that there would probably be a good turnout because there weren't that many opportunities for the troops to have entertainment. But we hadn't expected to see with so many worshippers. And it was incredible, really, to see a sports hall, a gymnasium full of soldiers with M16 rifles strapped to their backs, most of them with their hands in the air, clapping and singing and praising God. And whatever your thoughts are, whatever people's thoughts are about the rights and wrongs of the war, the fact is there are a lot of American and allied coalition forces in Iraq. A lot of them are Christians. They haven't chosen to be there. They believe that they are serving by being there. And it was a privilege for us to go and to serve them And when you're singing songs like Cry Out to Jesus and My Hope Is You and There's Light at the End of the Tunnel, you could be going out the next day and being shot at on a military patrol, then it adds a whole new intensity to those lyrics.
And you hit upon something else that's very characteristic of a Third Day show that is not necessarily the case with other concerts that you go to, is that it is an opportunity to worship, and the guys are really leading the audience into worship. And you know, I've had a chance to see them before live, and I have to say that's the thing that's made that experience distinctive from other concert experiences that I've had.
Absolutely. Yeah, people say to me, well, Third Day, are they a rock band or a worship band? And I say yes. You know, they're both really, and some of the songs that they sing, it's difficult to distinguish between the two. You know, one of our priorities is every night before the band go on, we'll pray together on the bus or in the dressing room, and we'll pray that Jesus will be honoured, that it will be a worship experience for the guys in the band and for the audience, for those in the audience that are Christians. They will have that intense moment of worship. For those that aren't yet believers, perhaps they'll have an encounter with God and a glimpse of His splendour for the first time that evening. And so that whole aspect of the band is so crucial. And certainly for me, you know, I am a fan of their music, and it engages me. I like the rock stuff. You know, in my own personal devotion time, I'll use Third Day music a lot because it does help me connect with Jesus, and I'm so thankful to them for that.
They are probably a little bit more unique than your average believer in that their vocation is also their ministry. Talk about that aspect.
Say that again, sorry, I just missed that question.
That, you know, for the average believer, we have our job, and then our ministry may be separate from our job, but theirs is both in one. And what can we draw from their example? What can the average believer, you know, like me, who doesn't have the privilege of being able to work and be in ministry at the same time in my work?
Well, one of the things I think we need to do is to rethink that a little bit. And you know, I meet so many people who say, "Oh, I'm only doing this boring job or that boring job or this," and if only I could be in a ministry like Third Day. Well, you know, the Bible tells us that we should, whatever we do it to the glory of God. So, you know, I believe that a stay-at-home mum has got an effective ministry, that a school teacher has got an effective ministry, but a guy in an office job or in a factory job or a bus driver has an effective ministry. I think it's that outlook, really, on life. What sharpened that for me was I was involved in a concert with Casting Crowns in a venue in London, and there was an African man from Ghana who was a toilet attendant in a pretty run-down set of gents' toilets, bathroom. But he wanted to do that job to the best of his ability and to the glory of God. And he had various colognes and aftershaves and tissues and combs and soap all laid out. He would greet people as they came in. He would brush your coat for you. He would, it was, if you like, one of the most demeaning jobs you could do to be a toilet attendant, but he wanted to do it and really give God the glory for it. So I think it's part of our attitude. But as far as people in terms of the sort of full-time paid professional ministry, sometimes you have to step out of that in order for your own personal devotional life. And as a pastor, I know that if I'm only reading and studying for the sake of Third Day or the church that I'm preaching in or the Ignite ministry that I'm involved in, then I'm missing that intimate one-to-one relationship that God wants with me just for my own sake. So I think those of us who are the so-called professional Christians realize that sometimes we need to reprioritize our own personal walk with God. Being a professional traveling Christian, if you like, does give us plenty of time for study and for reading that others might have. It also means it would be very easy when you're home for a weekend to say, well, I've been doing a Christian thing all week. And I know I've been giving out, but I'm not going to bother to go to church today, or I'm not going to go to home group, I'm not going to go to Bible study. And I think one of the strengths of the guys in Third Day is they've risen above that, and they realise that however hard it be, because if they're tired or, you know, or the worship band isn't as professional as them or whatever, that they need to be in church on a Sunday morning.
Well, Nigel, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me about your book. Lessons from the Road is the title of the book. It's published by Authentic Books. It is a terrific read. I'm thoroughly enjoying working through it and highly recommend it to everyone to go pick it up and get some greater insight into what these guys deal with on a day-to-day basis. Nigel, thank you for your time.
God bless you. It's been great to speak with you. Thank you so much, Tom.